Sorry. We're going to have to go back because I forgot to turn that on. Okay, so you were there about a month?
About 2 months.
2 months. Is there a specific experience or anything that you specifically remember?
Oh, how mean the drill sergeants was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, I didn't have that microphone on, and it might have picked it up, and it might have not. So let me go back and ask you these questions. I apologize for that. Okay, so you and a group of young men from here went to Dodge City to join the Marines.
Yeah.
And then you went to Kansas City and were inducted.
Yeah.
Okay. And on the train to Kansas City, and then you were sent to California. And I asked you a question about your parents, what your parents thought. And then you answered about your father.
Yeah.
That when he took you to the train, that was the only...
Well, he took us down there, and we caught a bus, I think, to Dodge or something. But
okay. And that was the only time that you saw him cry.
Yeah.
But he didn't really come out and say that he thought it was a bad idea.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Okay. And then you got out there, and basic training consisted of a lot of marching.
Yeah.
Did you have other duties or work that you had to do?
Well, not really. Just clean the train and stuff, you know, like you just... Maybe. Marine Corps wouldn't let you do nothing. You couldn't go to a town or nothing during the 2 months. And
okay.
You couldn't even get candy bars. Parents couldn't send you no sweet stuff or nothing.
They my.
The Marines, they was a real strict diet.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're...
But they wouldn't even let you out of way, go to town or anything for the basic training.
But did you have some time where you weren't marching and...
Well, they pretty well kept you going. They got you up and early and, well, they had other stuff too, you know, going, of course.
Mm-hmm. Did they give you a uniform?
Well, we didn't get one for, it must have been close to a week after we got there, and they marched, and we had our shoes wore out, and of course they shaved your head like they always do.
Mm-hmm.
Head got sunburnt. And
it wasn't a good experience.
Not really. But
okay.
They wanted you to be rough in the Marines Corps. They wanted to see how
mm-hmm.
rough you could be. So.
Mm-hmm. And then who told you that if you had something wrong with you, you could get out?
It was just somebody else in the outfit. Been there or something, and said, yeah. It was pretty easy to get out, so yeah, it'd be for me if I could get out. So.
And lucky that you had flat feet.
Well, yeah, it was pretty flat.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Marine Corps, they wanted you in perfect shape and everything. And
mm-hmm. Okay, so then you came home, and were you in a reserve or anything?
No, I got a medical discharge.
Medical discharge. Okay, and then what did you, when you came home, you were right out of high school, what did you do? Did you go to work or?
I went back to farming.
Okay, all right. And then in 1950?
No, 53 is when they got me in the Army.
Okay, so you were still registered for the draft?
Yeah.
Okay, and how did you get a letter? Did someone call you? Or?
Well, yeah, draft notice, you know, they're going to send you down to, for a physical for the Army.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent me down the first time, and they checked me and sent me home. And so then they sent me down again, and they said, well, you got flat feet, and they wouldn't know whether they'd take me or not, so they sent me over to Fort Leavenworth and checked me there. So then they sent me back home again.
Mm-hmm.
So then they sent me a notice that they were going to induct me, so I went down to be inducted in the Army. And I was down there, and they checked me again, and said, well, I think we'll send you home again for some more chicken. I said, well, I'd quit my job at Boeing. I was working at Boeing at that time. I mean, Coleman at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, we'll send you home for a while and see what you... I said, well, it's the third time I've been down here. And I said, I quit my job at Coleman to come down here. I said, if you could send me home again, I'm not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
They said, okay, and drafted me. So then they took me.
So you farmed for a little bit, and then you went to Wichita to work at Coleman?
Yeah.
And what did you do at Coleman?
I worked there in their furnace department stuff. Coleman, you know, a pretty big outfit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I started down there. They sent me to school to be a riveter, and I worked on the forward landing door of the B-47s they was building then.
Coleman.
Coleman was building parts for Boeing.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay.
So I learned to be a riveter down there.
Mm-hmm. Where was the plant in Wichita?
It was clear up north Wichita. Okay. It was their north plant. It wasn't downtown, but it was their north plant. It was several miles north up there at Wichita.
Mm-hmm. And I talked to someone who had worked at Boeing because they got good wages. Did you get good wages at Coleman?
I suppose. I don't remember what it was now. But
okay, all right.
Like I said, farming got so bad out here, you know, during the 50s there, that I went down there to get a job. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised when you got a notice that they were calling you up again?
Well, yeah, with a medical discharge. Well, and then I was married, too.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't figure they'd call me back, but
mm-hmm.
they did, so.
Okay, so they sent you home, what, three times? And then they just drafted you in.
Yeah, well, they sent me home two times. The third time, second time, I just told them either I wasn't coming back again because mm-hmm. I said, I can't do that, can't quit a job and come back here. And
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when?
Because I'd moved my trailer house back to Dodge. I'd lived in Wichita with my wife.
And okay.
So I couldn't play that game anymore, so.
Mm-hmm. And when did you think you were going in for a certain amount of time?
2 years.
2 years. And where did you go?
I was stationed at Fort Bliss for my basic training.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent 14 months at Fort Bliss. I was a cadre of new ones that just come to be inducted into Army and stuff. I'd march them around and get their physical and their clothes and stuff like that. And I spent about a year doing that. And then they sent me to Fort Sill.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down there as a radar instructor.
Okay.
Because I had radar school in Fort Bliss when I was going through school. Through their second 8 weeks of school down there, I went to radar school.
Mm-hmm. What was the basic training in the Army different than in the Marines?
Oh, it was entirely different. Like the first weekend you got off and you'd go to the beer joint or on the base and stuff. And I think the second or third, you'd go to El Paso even.
Mm-hmm.
it was entirely different than the Marine Corps.
And you could eat candy bars.
Oh, you could drink beer, eat candy, whatever you wanted to do in the
mm-hmm.
Army.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was entirely different than the Marine Corps.
Okay, and basic training is usually how long?
Let's see, if you had 8 weeks of basic and then 8 weeks of advanced, which went to the radar school.
And what, was radar sort of new at that time?
Oh, well, it was newer and it'd be pretty crude outside what they got now on radar,
mm-hmm.
but I went to anti-aircraft radar, which is tracking these planes in the air and stuff. And at Fort Sill, I went in there in the field artillery, which is a different radar that was tracking mortars and stuff on the ground.
Okay.
And then I became an instructor there for 10 months.
Okay, so did you have I don't know anything about radar. Did you have a screen that
yeah.
You were looking at, and this was when they were out training on the ranges or something?
The anti-aircraft, you sit there and watch the screen and track for planes and stuff coming in. And
mm-hmm.
and then the radar shot their big guns, their 90-millimeter guns. They fired them.
Was it difficult?
Oh, no, I guess it wasn't too bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you went through the training, and then you became an instructor.
Well, no, I'd went to his training. I'd spent that 12 months just out there at Fort Bliss, just marching these trainees around and stuff, and then I went to Fort Sill, and then I became an instructor there,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of that I had to kind of learn as a student. I said. And it was a different radar.
Oh, it was the anti-aircraft.
Well, at Fort Bliss, it's anti-aircraft, and down in Fort Sill, is field artillery.
Okay.
Or ground troops.
Okay. Now, when you were, before that, when you were marching the new recruits or the new people, I guess, coming in around, were you trained to do that or you just knew what was?
Well, it just, I don't know, something started doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they took me in May. And when I was supposed to come home and end the 8 weeks training, they're going to send you home for a week and then they send you someplace else. Well, I'd got a notice they was going to send me home. Well, just before I left to come home, they pulled me off the roster to come home and put me in this recruit center down here. They just started it down at Fort Bliss then.
Mm-hmm.
They just started that there, and which a lot of people from here went through that down there at Fort Bliss.
Oh, okay.
Doctors two or three came through there, I knew, so.
Mm-hmm. What did your wife think when you had to go?
I don't know. She that was my first wife.
Mm-hmm. Must have been hard, though, to leave,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But
mm-hmm.
Of course, that probably part of that led to her divorce, too. She found other people, men and stuff. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But she stayed with me. Well, she lived down at Fort Bliss and Fort Sill both a little bit of time. But
okay.
And then we had a baby when I was at Fort Sill,
mm-hmm.
a couple months before I got out of the Army.
Mm-hmm. So your time at Fort Sill, it was teaching radar?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, when, was there ever a time when you wanted to do something else? Did you have a choice, or did they just tell you what to do?
Well, when we signed up, like at Fort Bliss, they wanted to know what school you wanted to go to, and I said radar school. And I got my choice there, so.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, after I got through the training, I didn't go to it for 14 months. So.
Mm-hmm. But eventually you got there.
Well, yeah.
Was there ever a chance that you would have been sent overseas?
Well, yeah, when they first pulled me out there, you know, and they wasn't going to have that base there for the recruits, I'd had orders to go to Camp Kilmer, New Jersey, which would have been, would have went over Germany probably, but
mm-hmm.
like I said, they pulled me off of it. And just before I was supposed to come home and kept me until Christmas. But in the process, they goofed up and sent my orders on to Camp Kilmer, New Jersey. And so when I came home at Christmas time for a leave, I got over and a cop stopped me and I said, "What's wrong?" He said, you're a deserter. I said, "What?" I said, "I spent from May to December down and never been off the base. How could I be a deserter?" But they forgot to pull me off when they print the orders. You know, they put a whole bunch of them on a sheet, and they forgot to take my name off. Well, when it got to New Jersey, there I was supposed to be up there, and then I was at Fort Bliss, so you couldn't really be at two places at once. So,
were you able to explain it to him, or what happened?
Well, yeah, the cops said, well, I had my leave papers
mm-hmm.
where I could come home, but I about goofed up on that. The guy was on duty there. He said, "Well," says, "you just well take off early and come home," says. We had to wait till midnight to pick up orders or leave and stuff. I said, "No, maybe I better not." I said, "Maybe I better sure have orders when I get there." So if I'd done that, probably the police would have been jail before.
That's right.
If I hadn't had my orders with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what was it like when you were at being the radar instructor? You worked like 5 days a week? Or
yeah, it wasn't too bad. So you had a pass, they gave it. Had your instruction and stuff to do, and it wasn't too bad because it was just more or less teaching the radar and stuff to kids that was coming in there. And
okay.
So then I lived off base.
Mm-hmm.
So you got off at 5 o'clock and, or 6 and went home, and then didn't have to put in Saturday or Sunday.
Okay. So basically you lived a lot different than a single person would have.
Well, yeah, I could live off base. And
mm-hmm. Okay, and you had all your weekends free?
Well, most of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, we'd have to go in for a check us on Saturday or something, you know, but very seldom. So
mm-hmm.
That's after I got up to Fort Sill. Now, Fort Bliss is entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know what a 3-day pass was or or anything. You had to pick up your pass when you went home at night, and even if I lived off the base, and then turn it in when you come in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Was it hard to take orders or to follow the discipline or follow all the rules?
Oh, not really, I guess. Cause
did you ever get in trouble?
Oh, not real bad trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And were some of the soldiers that you were teaching, would they then have gone overseas or to fight the Korean War?
Well, see, the Korean War would have been over just a couple months after I got in. See, it was over in 55, I mean, 53.
Okay.
It was over in 53. I was only about was about 2 months in the Army before the war ended.
Okay. So why do you think they brought you back in? Because they needed...
Well, the war was still going on when they drafted me back. Mm-hmm. And I was 25, and they couldn't draft you at 26.
Oh. Okay. All right.
But I found out at 25, you wasn't there like an 18-year-old kid running around with.
Uh-huh. I'm
a person don't think you're losing out, you know, the time you're 25. But mm-hmm. Try to run around with a bunch of 18, 9-year-old kids, which most of them was. And
now, was the draft still in effect for them, for the 18, 19-year-old?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know when they did stop the draft.
Well, that's right, because Vietnam War, they were still drafting people. Draft numbers
yeah.
would come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that regular Army didn't start for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When your time was up, did you ever think of staying in?
No.
Any particular reason?
Well, I just didn't like it. But mm-hmm. Of course, see, I went back to Coleman when I got out. See, if you went in from outfit, they had to hold your job till you got back.
Oh, okay.
And then it was just like you was working there that
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back and went to work at Coleman for, probably 6 months. Of course, I was still kind of farming my brother, and they had some maize they was going to cut, and they wanted me to get a couple weeks off to cut it. So I said, well, no problem. So I went to, and they said, well, yeah, you can take a couple of weeks off. And the day before I was supposed to come back, I said, no, it says, we need you too bad here at Coleman, you can't take off.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I'll just quit then.
Mm-hmm.
Which wasn't the best thing to do.
No.
So I lost all my seniority there.
Oh.
I went back and they brought me back, but then about December I got laid off right at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And there I was up there, a wife and a kid and stuff, and no job. So I signed up for unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
And the same day I went down to Boeing and they hired me.
Mm-hmm.
So I never did draw unemployment. So.
Mm-hmm. When you were in the Army, how much money do you remember how much you made a month?
It wasn't very much.
Okay.
I think I got about $40 after wife got her allotment out of it. So.
Mm-hmm. So you actually made more money when you were at Coleman.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you didn't make nothing in the Army.
And when you went back after you got out of the Army, was it back in the furnace area?
Yeah, I was in the furnace area there instead of in the aircraft part of it. Because they quit building the B-47 then, so.
Mm-hmm. And when you went to Boeing, what did you do at Boeing?
I went to work out there on the flight line, and they was modifying these B-47s. They redoing the whole thing, and I was in that about, I suppose, 10 months, and then they quit modifying, and then they sent me into the plant. Which then they were just starting to build the B-52s.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in their wing section, which, that runs the hard work. They got great big rivets, other than the riveting, of course, sheet metal part. And so it ran into pretty hard work, so. And I, also in the process, I'd went to TV school.
Oh.
So I was working and going to school both on the GI Bill. I went to school, so I'd go to school at 8 o'clock in the morning, get off at 2, the school, and then the guy picked me up. I was going out there, and then I go out and then went to work at, I think, at 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I went directly from school out to Boeing, and then I got off there at 11 or 12 when it was. Then I'd go home just in time to get up and go back to school the next day.
You were a busy person. Where was the TV school? In Wichita somewhere?
Yeah, I was down on North Broadway.
Okay, and was, I suppose, TV was just then becoming more available.
Yeah, I wasn't out here very much.
Mm-hmm.
But
and you were trained to repair them or
yeah.
to?
Okay. Yeah, I was in the first colored TV school they had down there.
Oh, really?
They ran it. And I went clear through color school. Never seen a program in color. Because there wasn't only, I think, two broadcasts a night.
Mm-hmm.
Bonanza and Dinah Shore, I think, was the only two color programs I had. And of course, they was at night.
Right.
And I didn't go to school then, so.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen it. I'd worked on the TV and seen how I'd do it and everything, and I'd never seen it work in color. So.
Did you have a TV at your home?
One out of color.
No, just black and white.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What? How long did you go to school?
Let's see. How long? It must have been over a year.
And then did you get a certificate or?
Yeah, I got a diploma out of it.
Okay.
And then I also got a radio license to be a radio operator, but I never did use it.
Mm-hmm.
I could have worked on like two-way radios and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I just had second class FCC and I had another 3 months to get a first class of a thing. One of my buddies, he'd went to work for a TV station. He didn't see he'd make anything there, so what's use to? I just stayed out at Boeing and went out there, and since I got that hard rivet and stuff, I decided, well, I just transfer over in their radar electronic part of the Boeing. They'd pay more to start and everything, so I went down and asked this guy if I could transfer over to their electronic division. He said, oh, no, he said, we need you a lot worse in the riveting section. He said, we'll make you a lead man. I said, well, that's pretty hard work in there. So I said, well, if you was going to lay me off, how long would you give me before you laid me off? And he said, 24 hours. Because I'm giving you 24-hour notice, I'm quitting. So I quit.
What was so hard about the riveting job?
Oh, well, you got great big bucking bars and a big gun and everything. You're shooting them big rivets on your B-52s.
Okay.
They had, I don't know how thick the aluminum would be on, but they probably 3/8 or 1/2 inch metal on them. They're great big thick ones on
mm-hmm.
there.
And it was just hard physically.
Well, yeah, like I said, it was.
mm-hmm. Well, and if we could go back when you first started, they were modifying the
B-47s.
Okay, and what did that mean? That the B-47 had been used in World War II, right?
Yeah, they was.
And they were changing it?
Well, they were running them through this deal, and it took, they had run them all through there and redoing them, and I was ribbing the deal on the side. It was some kind of spatial radar or something went in there, and that's about, we had about the same job on that for the time I was in there.
Mm-hmm. But then you said they stopped doing that?
Yeah, they got through doing the
okay.
modification, and it was out on the flight line where then they transferred me into the main factory after that, after the,
mm-hmm.
after they closed the flight line.
So. Mm-hmm. Hmm. So when they wouldn't let you go use what you had been learning, you just said you would quit.
Well, I was still, yeah, electronics.
Because
mm-hmm. like I said, you'd start more there and you could make it a lead man over. And then I was working, and I started TV, working there on TV in Wichita anyhow. I went to work for a TV company there. And,
mm-hmm.
But the thing was, just about the time I got my license to be a TV operator, work on, I got a divorce just about the same time.
And well, probably because you were never home. You were working and going to school. So then what did you do?
That was 58, so I'd been up there, what, three years. So mm-hmm. I was still in the farming deal with my brother, and they didn't raise nothing there, you know, during the 50s.
Right.
I think 1 year they didn't even plant wheat there. So in 58 we had a big harvest, so I came back here and started farming and been here ever since.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever repair TVs on the side? Or?
Yeah, I done here in Cimarron for several years.
Okay. So what?
So I come back here in 58 and I done, let's see, when did I quit in here? Probably been, I done here for two or three years, several years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put irrigation in on the farm up there, so had enough to do on that without
mm-hmm.
TVs. Well, people would call me, I'd be out working all day and they'd call me at night and want their TV worked on. Because back then, you know, that's all they had was TV, so if they quit, they wanted it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So I just finally said, I just quit.
Yeah. Well, and I remember growing up when we got TV, and it seemed like tubes were always going out.
Yeah, that was the trouble then, the tubes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I quit the TV, but then it's about the time they went to their transfers and all this.
Well, you must have had
So I don't know, I wouldn't know nothing about it inside of a TV now.
Well, I don't know that anyone will. I think when it quits, you just go get a new one anymore.
Well, they work on different than they used to. They went when they got the transfer. They just pull out a board and put a new one in, and they mm-hmm. wouldn't find what part was actually bad in them like you did when I worked on.
Mm-hmm.
You had to find the tubes or resistors or and your condenser and everything was bad in one back then. And,
mm-hmm.
But I worked up here for Bruce Ferguson for several years through his shop up there. So.
Okay. While you were farming too?
Yeah, I was farming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my brothers farmed together, so we'd...
Mm-hmm. Now, did any of your brothers go into the service?
Yeah. Had too.
About the same time that you did?
Well, one, it was in the farm. He went in before I did. Okay. He graduated a year before I did, and he'd